Blog Talk Radio.
Christ, Shalom, Shalom, everyone. This is Jaina. How is everybody doing today? Hope you guys are having a wonderful first day of the week. I am doing great. If you can hear me, somebody please push one. Just so I know that you can hear me. I know you can. I hope you can anyway. Anybody push one? Can you hear me? Okay, there we go. Brother Yerah, Shalom, Shalom, Shalom. I'm 1228. I see you. Thank you so much. So I just want to open up the floor today. I mean, we can have an open discussion about whatever you want to talk about because there's so much stuff going on out here, you know, that we can pick a topic. I don't really get into it anymore because I think that it's stage television. I don't think that it's anything that we really can really be concerned about. I mean, if you want to vote, you can vote, but I believe that presidents are chosen. They're not voted upon. I just really do. But I could be wrong. I don't know at all, so I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go there. I mean, you know, because I don't know. Anyway, I'm just rattling off today in a good mood. Happy to be alive. I've had a wonderful first day of the week. Me and Malcolm went out today. We got a lot of stuff done in a short period of time, and it's all good. So I just wanted to give you guys a chance to talk about whatever you want to talk about, however you want to do it. And I'm gonna start with Brother Yerah. Shalom, 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 my brother. How are you today?
Shalom. I'm doing pretty good today. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. No complaints at all whatsoever. Just glad to be in the house. You know, I'm going to have to go back to work tomorrow. That's something I don't wish to do, but got to eat.
Yes, ma'am.
You know,
I understand it. I'm sorry we missed yesterday. I had to take care of my mom. She's okay. She's getting put out, so I had to go put her in a new place to live.
Oh, okay. I got you. Got to take care of them family members, don't you? Oh, my
yes,
goodness.
Yes, ma'am.
You really do. You got to take care of them.
She's all good. Like she said, she's blessed to have children that care.
That's true. Absolutely. You know, and the older they get, the more we become responsible for them, the more they depend on us. You know?
Oh yeah.
Really?
You were saying that you wanted to talk about anything. Can I bring something up?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, you know, and I hate to be harping on, but you guys were saying it since I've been on this call since like 2016, early 2016, me and Sister Rachel came on this call. And you guys have been saying stock up, stock up, stock up, put a little food and water, a little bit here, a little bit there, put it up. Man, you know,
mm-hmm.
those words are so prophetic. Because mm-hmm. it's starting to become very obvious now that something ain't right, you know.
Oh, yeah.
People not really talking about it, but, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on. It's crazy. England, the UK has been rained on heavily every day. It's flooding every day. And, I mean, this has been for a week or two every day.
Mm.
You got locusts eating up everything in East Africa. You got freaking, some people say it's a man-made thing. Well, even if it's man-made, it got out of control. But if it's man-made, y'all put it out there because you can't do nothing without him. So
that's true.
That COVID-19 is all over the place now. Stock market is going to crash. So
yeah.
I've just been sitting here listening to all that stuff. And I look back now by just taking some simple advice from you, Bud, Donya, and trying to put up, you know, $20 here, $20 there. And that's all we did. So, Janet, very simple, $20 here, $20 there. And that's why I tell people now, you know, put it up, just $20. And I did that over a course of time now. I got 8 months worth of food and water.
Yeah,
And I can be a blessing to somebody else. That's the reason why I got so much, because I know I'm going to have to help somebody. Hello?
That is so true. I'm here. I said that is so very
yes.
true. You know, you have to learn, though. I mean, you know, like you said, the people who didn't put up, we got to make sure that they have, because I'm going to the store tomorrow and get some water. Me and Malcolm went to Walmart today. The bleach counter was cleaned out. There might have been five jugs up at the very top, cleaned out, gone.
everything's going because they scared of that coronavirus.
Yep, they did have plastic gloves, but when the man walked past me, he said, "We don't have no more masks." He said, "That's like gold around here. There's no more masks left." So.
You can't even get them online, Sister Young.
I know. So this is real this time. You know what I'm saying? Everybody is preparing for the what if.
I think it's a lot, too.
So I could, huh?
I think it's a lot too. You know, we are always gonna have those people to say, you know, you fear mongering and this and that and the third and the other. I'm not scared of anything. I live my life, I enjoy life. But it's just the fact that, you know, sometimes there's a thing called common sense.
That's right.
You can see all this stuff. If you got any sense whatsoever, you can see all this stuff going on around you, all over the place. And, you know, Yahweh gave us a brain, too. Last time I checked, he gave us a brain. And I think that's why he said in Scripture, when you see certain things go on, then know that this is about to happen. So, to me, that all rolls into common sense. Because, you know, I hear people say, well, Yahweh got me. No, that's still in Christianity. He gives you the Holy Spirit through the Ruach, where you can understand things and you understand what to do.
Yeah.
And you know what to do and what action. That's what's supposed to happen. But I still hear some of my brothers and sisters say, "Well, the Most High got me." Yeah, He got you if you listen through the Ruach, and the Ruach is telling you, you ain't gonna sit here and live up with no water for 3 months. You're not gonna do that. That's common sense.
No. That's the truth.
I just thought I'd say that, and then I'm gonna shut up.
No, I think it's a very, you know, it's a very valid topic. It's something that we need to discuss. People need to understand that this is real. And we went to the store today, and that is exactly what we saw. The bleach counters was empty. Well, we did get some gloves. I bought two packs of 50 pair of plastic gloves. But there was no mask found in the store at Walmart, not one.
No, we tried to order them for my job, and we can't even order them there. We didn't put a decent shape there, but you can't order anything. I mean, not even businesses can order stuff.
No. So, I mean, you know, this is real now. I mean, you know, people are beginning to prepare because, like the man said, it's not if, it's when. You know, and for the elderly people who don't have transportation, who cannot get around, you know, this is the time for the families to step up, because I'm going to buy water for my mom and them tomorrow, because I know they can't do it. And I'm going to buy enough water, and I'm going to pack my car down full of water, and I'm going to take water over there for them. Now, I can't buy a lot of things because of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the High Holy Day, because I can't bring any yeast in here. But once that's over, I'm going to pack down. I'm going to get all, like, I can get rice and beans and those type of things, but, like, peanut butter crackers and different things like that that will sustain you. I can't really get those things until after the High Holy Day is over, but it's time now to really start to prepare.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking for my little bleach bottle, because I'm getting ready to put some bleach in that bottle, and I'm going to take that to work with me and spray my whole area down. Because I went and bought some of those little soap dispensers. They little. They come in like soft soap, or whatever. They're like 98 cents. I'm taking that in my kit with me to work so I can carry my own soap to the bathroom. So I don't even have to use that, because everybody uses the same soap dispenser. They putting their hands on it. You know, it's just, you got to start being more vigilant and diligent with the way we do things. You got to.
Yeah, that's true. And that's all I was trying to explain to people. You know, is that it's not about being scared or fear-mongering or any of that stuff. It's just that, you know, you can see a train coming.
Yeah.
And it'd be kind of stupid to stay in the track and say, "Is that really a train?"
Yeah.
until they run you over, and then you wonder what happened. And it kind of spooked me out a little bit when I first saw it. I remember, okay, well, there's 2,000 people dead. And next thing I know, 2,000 people got it. Next thing I know, it's hundreds of thousands of people got it, all different countries. They don't know where this stuff coming from. Even if it is man-made, it's something that got out that wasn't supposed to get out. Because, see, people, you know Israel, we like to debate and argue. We'll get on the line and argue about, no, it was man-made. It doesn't matter if it was man-made, if it was natural. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. The point of the matter is it's out.
That's true.
And that there's something going on that's causing people to sick, to die and get sick. And, they just had the first case of death in the United States from it.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true.
And then for these people that like money, well, what do you think going to happen Monday morning? How the stock market going to react to this thing? See, if one hand feeds the other. The stock market lost more money this past week. They lost more points this past week than they have ever lost. And because this spiked up again this weekend, Monday morning, the Dow going to react really crazy to it. Let it go down another 1,000 points. That's going to cause a lot more panic from another angle. But it's all got to get took down because it's all in the woods.
That's true. That's true. I mean, it's real now. It's happening. Like I told you, I work with a young lady at my job. She said that one of her family members, his friend is a stockbroker, and he said that the people are online for an hour, holding online for an hour to get with their stockbroker to tell them to sell their stock. Because who can afford to lose money at this time? Who can afford to do it? It's crucial. These are the things that we have to deal with. Because, we've been crying wolf for so long, now it's real. And it's mm-hmm. going to be a new normal. We really getting ready to experience a new normal. We played that video yesterday where the man said that we was going to deal with a new normal, that a lot of companies will have to now start working from home because, we just mm-hmm. not going to be able, it's going to be, it's just because you show no symptoms at first. You show no symptoms at first. And you can have it and expose people to it and not know you have it. We was out today, man. We wiped down as much as we could. But even in those situations, mm-hmm. it was times that I touched my face and didn't realize that I had touched my face and I had my hands on things. So you really are going to have to start really paying attention to how you carry yourself during the day. Because, you mm-hmm. don't know who you're coming up against. You know.
No, you don't.
You really don't. You're going to do the best you can. It is. This is real. And you're around people every day. Every day you're dealing with. Yes. And they always coughing at my job and all over the place. And it's like, no. I'm carrying me some bleach tomorrow. I really am. I am really going to carry me some bleach tomorrow. If I can spread down. And I know with the field that you're in, what type of precautions are they making for your internal customers? The internal customers that you deal with every day, what are they doing? Are they doing anything to make sure that your internal customers are okay?
Oh, yeah. That's how I know for a fact, Cecilia. This is a lot worse than what they're saying because we already got special chemicals.
Special what?
Already. Chemicals.
Oh, wow.
That should kill it. All kind of protocols already in place, already done.
Because you think about this, first responders are really wonderful, but they got families too.
Yep.
And you got to make a decision at some point. Do I continue to do this, or do I go home and make sure my family's okay? Do I protect my? Because when you're in services that that cater to the public and the well-being of different people, like nursing homes and hospitals and clinics and jailhouses and different things like that. You know, you guys are the first point of contact for people, mm-hmm. you know, for your patients and stuff when they come into these hospitals and clinics and stuff. And at some point, you can't let the first responders die either.
Nope. That's what happened in China. All these nurses and everything, you know, start coming down with this stuff and dying.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, like we were saying yesterday, when you go through this kind of stuff, you know, they don't give you a proper burial. They cremate everybody.
Yep.
That's cool. Because
they don't know. It's got to be something to it if they cremate people like that. You can't bury them.
Yeah.
This thing lasts longer than what you think.
Yeah. Just to cremate people. That's crazy. Because they don't want it to go into the soil. They're afraid
mm-hmm.
that it's going to get into the soil. I mean, it's just like, what was that? What was it? Not chicken pox, but one of them other diseases that went through years and years ago where people were dying from it and they didn't know how to contain it. It got out of control and killed millions and millions of people. You know,
I'm
this is serious. I know it's not chicken pox.
Was it polio?
It was, I don't remember what it was. It's right on the tip of my tongue, but, you know, yeah, this is serious business. You have to take time and make precautions. You have to prepare anyway. You know, like I said, you know, if for the elderly people, call your family members. If you're elderly, call your family members and have them take you to the store so you can get the stuff you need. First of the month rolls around, tomorrow's the first, or the day the first, go to the store and get the things you need. If you got to call Uber or Lyft, go get the things you need and have somebody help you haul that stuff up into your apartment.
See, my dad, I was telling you about my dad. My dad is, like, elderly, but he's, like, 86 this year. This would be his 86th
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
Stay out in the middle of nowhere. He told me, just put the water, cases of water in the house for me. I got him plenty of canned goods.
Mm-hmm.
And got him all that stuff. And he says, you know what? Anybody come out here, the way he says, one of them little squint-eyed people come out here, I'm shooting him.
Right.
I said, Pop, you
absolutely,
just can't go
and shoot him. Like, you right. He right.
But he got everything that I made sure that he got everything that he needs. My mom, I moved her yesterday, made sure they got food and water. I got a lot of elderly people in my family, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we got to start looking at that. I made contingency plans here at my house for my brother and his two kids. Because
mm-hmm.
they live in Atlanta, like Brother Adonia, and, you know, them big cities is where it's going to go crazy.
Yep. But we got Malcolm got walkie talkies. I forgot what the range is on them, but the range is pretty far. So I told her I was gonna get a pair so we can at least be able to communicate, you know, and make sure that everybody's okay where they are, because it's time to stop buying weave and hair stuff. You better start putting your money in something else, for real.
Mm-hmm. You know, like I told his sister, I said, you can't eat it. You can't drink it.
Nope.
So what is it going to do for you? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's time to be proud of who you are and your natural hair anyway. So, you know, that's one thing that I was stressing on. We had a topic on the men's call about preparedness. Because, you know, as men, we're supposed to be leading our household. And that's why I actually brought that topic out there. It's called preparedness. You know, you got to take these things seriously. You know, it's not about fear mongering. Some people think I'm fear mongering with it, but it's not fear mongering. I don't care where it came from. It's here. And it's something that we have to deal with. And I look around this neighborhood. I look around the neighborhood I'm in, and I look around. It's a mixed neighborhood, but I look at some of our people.
Right.
Not a care.
Don't have a clue. Y'all don't.
and I was looking at this one sister. She usually walks every morning, and I see her walking in the morning. Me and Sister Rachel was looking at her. She got this stroller with one baby and one in the stomach, and I'm sitting there going, that's why we're putting up this food and water, because, and I know Sister Rachel. I know her heart. She's not going to let that woman starve to death. So I said, that's why you put up this extra, because you know it's going to be somebody like that with kids and nobody there to help her that's going to actually be out there. You know, and we're gonna have to love our brothers and sisters. We're going to have to start caring, you know. And that's one of my biggest reasons for reaching out to some of the other camps, and they stop all this fighting and arguing, this dogma about doctrine and who's right and who's wrong. And let's start loving on each other. You know, let's start caring about each other. That's one of the biggest commandments of them all. Love thy brother as thyself. You know, that's up there. And that's what the Father wants us to do, love each other and care for each other. At some point, we're going to have to come together, stop all this male-female dynamics, you know, and that goes in the sand, you know, with these men that actually feel like they got to have two and three wives. What the hell are they doing now? Because you got to prepare. How you going to prepare for two, three wives, 10, 12 children? Most of them are not blessed to have that kind of a job where they can prepare for this. And that's something they have to start looking at, reality. And, that's something. And now, fortunately for us, on our men's call, you know, that kind of topic, nobody's even interested in it, having two and three wives. Nobody. You know, everybody more interested in those stuff. I guess because most of us are older, again. We're not even interested in that stuff, but men got to start thinking about preparing. Because
they are
even
busy trying to have illicit. They're trying to have illicit sexual activity with more than one person. That's all that is. But really, they should be preparing. I bet you if you ask them right now, what sort of plan do you have in place for your group in terms of preparing for what's coming with this coronavirus? I bet you they don't have nothing in place. Nothing.
I bet you they don't either. I know
they don't have a dog.
You know, I know. You know, like I was, you know? I think it was like I said one time before, you know, it's enough for me to keep up with Sister Rachel to worry about having Sister Becky and Sister Barbara and Sister what's name and their kids to worry about. I couldn't do that. That's just crazy. You know, they don't look at the reality of things. People not looking at the reality of things. I personally think time is short. I saw a video from Mr. MMB33, where there was something, and it was clear, a craft landed in Australia right before those brush fires got really bad. And you see it in the sky, and it comes off, and it goes behind the trees and lands. And the people are sitting there just gasped, like, what in the world we got going on? And it's time now to stop and think, what if our reality changes? Because this stuff that we know that we see, all the cars, all the gadgets, the phones, the this, the that, that's not reality. That is not how this thing is supposed to work. That is not the way Yahweh had this set up. You know, and a lot of us, we can't live without those gadgets. We can't live without these things. We can't subsist because, you know, we're so addicted to this nonsense. You know, and one thing that I raised my son with was that you could be happy with just a tent and love and serving your Elohim. That's what I put in these kids that I got. Serving your Elohim in a tent and being happy, knowing that you're alive. All those prayers, now I know why we pray all the time, because we pray all the time, and then after you say these things from your heart so many times, it goes into your being, and you start to live for it. You start, that's what you desire, that's what you want. And that's something else, you know, praying, seeking, crying out. Every time I seen a video that they showed me one day, and I saw one. I saw the video of that little black girl getting arrested, 6 years old, putting handcuffs on. when I saw the video, the first thing was a tear come out my eye, and I just started praying, Yahweh, please deliver us. Please, if it be thy will, deliver us out of these things. Because I care about that little girl. Never seen a day in my life, but that's our blood, our people.
Yeah.
And we don't seem to do that, Sister Yaina. We don't seem to care enough to say, you know what? Stop it. These are our folk. These are our children. What if it happened to mine? What if it happened to my daughter? Oh, I would have a fit. You know, it's too late then, because we didn't stand together. I said one time before, and I got this from something that I heard Minister Farrakhan say probably 20 years ago, and it's so true. If you really want to, you know what would shut this country down and scare this country so bad? Imagine all the Hebrew Israelite camps right now and all the people that are filled with the Hebrew Israelites. And those that affiliate with them said, you know what? To hell with this. We ain't going to put no more videos out. We're going to have a meeting. Mm-hmm. We all came together and rented something like Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, which you could do. We had the money. We all come together. And we're going to have us a meeting about black folks. No white folks allowed. No media allowed. Nobody, just us. If we went in there, the suspense of what we talking about would be silence on this earth.
And yeah, would, pretty much. I think
close
so.
Close that door for a minute. Shut everybody out and say, we got to talk. Ain't got time for this. Time for y'all. Get out. It would kill them.
Yeah, pretty much. And that is true. I think so. Yeah, we have a lot of work to do. I tell you, I don't know. Hold on, let me get the mic over for Brother Donia. Brother Donia, your mic is open. You're on the air. Go ahead, Brother Yerushalayim. You can finish. I just was letting him in so he could respond.
Yeah, I just saying, you know, those are things that were on my heart. You know, like I look at this coming Passover and stuff. It should be no reason why you shouldn't have hundreds of people on that call. There's no reason why we shouldn't have all kinds of children in the background being children. There's no reason we shouldn't be sitting there discussing it. There shouldn't be no reason why we shouldn't be, even we going as we get to go through the Passover, to reach out and pray and cry out one more time as a group virtually. Just cry one more time. That's been on my heart since the game. As a group, just cry one more time. One more again, like they call it. Because I do believe in him. I know he's real. And I know he's listening now. Just cry one more time. Say, hey, Father, please forgive us what we did. We know what you did with Jesse. But please deliver us out of this place. And I mean, and mean it. Because I'm ready to go. Because this is not how I want to live. I wouldn't care if I was in the Middle East in a tent with some goats and sheep on the side in a little garden and raising food for everybody. You ain't got to pay me. Money don't mean nothing to me no more like that. And these are things that I feel. I would rather do that than have this nice job I got in this house and being able to have a car and go. No, I would rather be in a tent in a place serving my Elohim the way we supposed to serve and taking care of my people than to live like I'm living now. And maybe that's what the whole purpose of us going through all of this. But that's what I feel. And now I'm going to set up and relinquish the mic like Brother Adonia say.
Sweetie? Oh, what'd you say?
I said, I'm going to relinquish the mic, just like you always say.
That is correct. Yeah, y'all had a very good conversation. I listened to almost everything that you had to say. And, yeah, we're in a pickle here. But we got to trust in the Almighty with all our heart and all our soul. You understand? And I want to add with every fiber of our being. You understand? And the Almighty will save us out of this mess. But it's going to be a mess. This is going to be something that that we've never encountered in the history of this world. And this is going to be a terrible day. You understand? And we might as well sit back and get used to the idea, because that's what it is. Do what we can do in righteousness and in truth. That's all we can do. Help where we can help at. The Almighty ain't going to leave you. It's too late for that. You know, we're on the other side of the 400 years.
That's true.
The only way that we can mess it up is we do it ourselves.
That's true.
So we, you know, we got the opportunity of a lifetime. Go ahead. Go ahead. Tom Chief.
No, I agree with everybody. I mean, you know, I'm trying to figure out if there's any new changes on this stuff, but I mean, you know, it's not, they're not saying, you know, I don't know. I mean, we have to wait and see, but prepare. I mean, that's all we can tell everybody to do that we've been saying for the last 5 years is to prepare. And like I said,
absolutely,
we went out today to try to get some supplies, as much as we could get, and it was not a whole lot. It wasn't a whole lot out there, you know, laundry detergent and all that stuff, and soap and dish and toothpaste and all that stuff is imported.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to get enough stuff, and, you know, you don't have to go crazy. I think I spent like maybe $50 today. You don't have to go crazy, but you got to get enough stuff to be able to have stocked up in the event that you need it. And I told my daughter and them, you know, when you guys get your income tax returns, don't go crazy spending money on no foolishness. Get the supplies you need so you'll have what you need.
Yep.
Toilet paper going to go. I couldn't even find the brand that I usually buy at Walmart that was $3.98. It was gone. It was $11 and $12. And I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we're going to have to start getting it. And the longer we wait, the more it's going to cost. The more that stock market go down and go crazy, the more the price is going to go up.
Yep.
For real.
This is not no game here. This is for real.
No.
I think you mentioned it earlier. This stuff is for real.
Yes, it is. It looked like it anyway. It looked like they doing something. You know, and it was for population control, they doing it.
Well, I remember one time, I think it was Rockefeller and his cronies, the senior Bush, and all of them was together, and they said they want to get rid of the 80% of the population of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
these guys right here is cool.
And then they said that the doctor who did the exposing of the actual virus over in China, who the whistleblower, he did.
He did, eh? He did, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And they was putting flowers all up at the hospital and stuff. He the one exposed to the world how bad it really was. He gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask a question here. Is there any cure? How many people got killed? Are they making any kind of dents in
vaccine,
the
vaccine is out for two. It's going to take about 2 years at most to come up with a vaccine.
So right now they don't have no cure or nothing, huh?
There's no cure. That if your immune system is built up, you may be able to get through it. But it said it affects people who are smokers. It affects people who have respiratory issues, like asthma and respiratory problems with lungs and all that kind of stuff. That's the people that it attacks the most if you have a weak immune system.
Mm. So they have no cure. Yeah, no cure, huh? Mm-mm-mm.
No, none. There's no cure for it. And you should see the people.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I said you should see the people in China, the people that I've seen in China in the hospitals. These people are lined up hospital beds, just rows and rows of hospital beds. You know what it's like? Gee. You know, and the people they was dragging out of their houses, and the people was fighting because they didn't want to go with them. And the hazmat people dragging them and throwing them in vans to get them to the quarantine areas. And then the one man, he was just laid out on the ground dead. He was in his little black suit that he was in, and he had mask over his face, and he collapsed on the street, and he was dead. They went up and looked at him and saw he wasn't breathing and threw a blue tarp over him and kept going. That's the stuff you see in the movies. I'm serious. They threw a blue tarp over the man and kept going. I'm like, oh, my Lord. You know?
They were setting us up years ago when they come out with them pandemics in the movies.
Yeah.
Preparing you.
That is critical. Brother Donnie, he was laying on the ground. I said, is that man dead? And I saw the man walk up to him and look over to see the two of them. Stood over him, and they nudged him a little bit with their foot. And seeing he wasn't moving, they threw a blue tarp over him and kept moving. Lord, have mercy. You know?
All those zombie movies.
Yeah, looks like it's going to be the real talk. The real stuff going on, for real.
I think those zombie movies relates to nuclear fallout.
Yeah. But this is real stuff right here. So like I said, I don't know, you know, I know you got a lot of family member there. They can help you get some water and stuff up in there and please get you a few.
Well, I'm doing all right on that. Yeah, I'm doing all right in that area. You understand?
And, okay, good.
But I was just saying, you know, I was just thinking here, man, see, I got out. My nephews and them, they're going to come and get me and take me out on the land. They got a shed out there and everything. You understand?
Okay, good.
You know, so I'm pretty good in that area. You know, you understand, is willing for me to go that route, that's where I'm going.
Okay, good. And then for everybody else that's on the line, you got elderly mothers and fathers and parents and aunts and uncles, you need to go check on them and at least make sure they have some food to last them. And I'm not talking about lunch meat and stuff, like non-perishable things that they can eat.
Yeah.
And make sure they got plenty of stuff in there that they can munch on if they need it, because most elderly people don't need a lot. But, I mean, you think about it, most of them are already on fixed incomes. They already got their own money. They already have their own things set up where they can stay in their apartments because their rent and stuff is already paid. But getting to the store and getting the necessary things they need, they don't have them. So don't assume that somebody else is going to do it. Make sure they have what they need.
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely.
Erico 720, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Oh, I was going to say, I was listening to some people at my work, and they were talking about, it's just like, there's more people die from the regular flu than for this, so they're treating it very casual. And I suspect that we're not going to hear a lot about the seriousness of it until they lose total control.
Yep.
So that's why I think it's good advice that we get out there to the stores and stock up and that sort of thing. And I was just eating a piece of fruit, and I was washing it like nobody's business. But just a precaution, everyone, your fruit and vegetables, make sure you wash it down really good, because everybody's touching that fruit a lot of times before we even buy it. So just be aware of that
sort
of thing as well.
Thank you, sis. That is so very true. I think that is so very true. You know, like she said, that's how my job is. They come up and say, well, more people die from the flu. Then I say, okay, well, if you want to approach it that way, then you approach it that way. I said, but as for me, I'm going to make sure I have things that I need. And I, like I said, my job sent out an email that went through in detail. This is what we're doing. These are the actions we're going to take for now. If it escalates to the next level, then these are the actions that we're going to take to make sure not only that you're safe, but guess what, that we can continue with the continuity of business, because we want to still be able to function and keep our business going in the process. And if that means that people have to work remotely, then you have to work from home.
Yeah, that's right. And it, yeah, they're going to downplay it until they lose control. So this is the time for us to be aware and see the writing on the wall and do what we know we should be doing.
Yeah, and people that have autoimmune deficiencies and, you know, their immune systems are weak and all that kind of stuff, I would advise you to stay away from as many people as possible and work on getting your immune system up, because this is really going to get interesting. It's going to really be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because and they scared us with the bird flu, and they had all that, and they made some vaccines so quick. But like he said, the man said yesterday, we don't even have enough kits to test people for it.
Yeah, and if they
don't even have the kids.
Yeah, they're going to downplay it until they can't control it anymore, because that's what they have to do.
Yes. So let me see what he says here about the market. Hold on, here we go. Let's see. Let me see what he said.
60 cases or thereabouts in the U.S., but that may grow significantly higher. So how might an outbreak impact daily life and the U.S. economy? Joining us tonight, L.A. County Superintendent of Schools, Deborah Duardo, and Moody's Chief Economist, Mark Zandi. Well, welcome to both of you. Superintendent Duardo, what would a closure of the L.A. County school system look like? How would you roll it out, and what would pupils and teachers do?
Well, that's what we're in the process of preparing for now. We still believe that L.A. County is low risk. We've only had one case of a person identified with the coronavirus. So right now we're taking the necessary precautions in the event that we would need to close down a school. So part of that means that we are preparing for online learning, providing instructional packages to students, thinking about independent studying, doing everything that we can to prevent the disruption of instruction.
So, number one, the news here is that you're thinking about it and game playing out what it would look like. But number two is the idea that just because school would not be in session, learning would not necessarily come to a halt.
Absolutely. Learning can take place in any environment. We'd prefer to have it take place at school, but if need be, we'd make sure that our students would still continue to learn.
Mark, if schools closed in large districts like Los Angeles or potentially across the country in many markets, what would it look like economically? What kinds of businesses would be affected most?
Well, it would be highly disruptive. You know, there's 30 million American families with children. Let's say this is a scenario, a third of those schools with those kids shut down. That would be about 10 million families affected. And let's just say, you know, 10% of those families had a parent that couldn't go to work because they had to stay home with their kids. That's a million people that can't go to work. That's a lot of jobs. That's a lot of income. And that doesn't count the other parents who probably have to get home sooner and because they can't work as long, they have to come and relieve their caregiver. So it would be, I think, incredibly disruptive. And then, of course, you have to ask yourself the question, well, if we're shutting down a lot of schools, what else is not working? You know, what's going wrong here? Because that's a pretty drastic step. So I think in that kind of a scenario, it would be pretty tough on this economy. It feels like we'd be in recession.
Deborah, forgive me for spending another moment or so with Mark. As you do your modeling now of the U.S. economy, the global economy, and most pointedly the Chinese economy, how are you revising your GDP outlooks?
Significantly lower. You know, even before we thought this virus could jump to be a global pandemic and reach the United States, we had cut GDP growth for the first quarter down to about 1%. So just for context, the U.S. economy has been growing about 2% per annum pretty consistently throughout this expansion. So that's about half that. And at that rate of growth, if you know, you're there for very long at all, job growth will be affected and unemployment will start to rise.
Mm-hmm.
But now with the virus, you know, given what the CDC says, the probability of this coming here in a significant way and, you know, disrupting things, and school closure is an example, I think this is very serious, and this is what the markets are telling us, right? There's the global investors are starting to discount the real possibility that we will have an economic recession.
Right.
And one other thing I'll say is, you know, we came into this very weak. I mean, the global economy was, you know, really flat on its back.
Mm-hmm.
That trade war did a lot of damage. And, you know, Europe was pretty close to recession. Italy was, you know, arguably already in recession before
right.
the virus hit. So, you know, yep. It's going to do damage.
Deborah, let me turn back to you for a moment. Just for the record, how many
– Okay, let me hold it. You hear that, don't you? I'm going to stop that for a minute. You hear what he said? So that's the gross domestic product. So if he said it's going to be real serious, you better go to the store now. While everybody's not – where there's not a rush on products, you better get as much as you can get and stock up. I'm telling you. And it's going to, the prices are going to go up. And it's not going to be that demand out there. It's the bleach line. The bleach shelves was empty. I mean, empty. I said, Malcolm, look at this. She said, well, that's four bottles up there on the top. I said, that's only four bottles. The whole rest of the shelves was empty. And it's going to be the same way with food. It's going to be the same way with water. It's going to be the same way with toilet paper and soap. It's going to be the same way with toothpaste and all the necessary things you need every day. I'm telling you. Watch. Here we go. I'm going to let it finish. We ain't got but about 2 minutes. Here we go.
Students are in the school system that you supervise.
1.5 million students, K through 12.
And you can imagine if those kids are not in school during the day, what are you hearing from parents and teachers? What kinds of concerns? What are they asking you about this?
Parents and teachers just want information. They want the facts. They want to make sure that we are thinking about and preparing for in the event that schools need to close. But they also want to make sure that we're taking other precautions as far as teaching children to make sure that they're practicing good hygiene at school, that they're washing their hands for at least 20 seconds, that our countertops and doorknobs and desks are being disinfected and cleaned. They also want to make sure that their children aren't going to be stigmatized for certain areas of our county, you know, in particular some of our Asian students. We want to make sure that our schools are safe, healthy learning environments, that we will not tolerate any bullying or teasing in our communities. So those are some of the concerns, but primarily they want the facts. They want to be reassured that we're providing them with accurate information. We've assured them that we have frequent communication with the Department of Public Health, that we are working with all 80 of our districts, that we're planning just as we should for any type of emergency, that families should have plenty of water and food and medications, the same thing we would in the event of an earthquake or a fire or other thing that would cause children to not be able to come to school.
Oh, well, there you have it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's not going to be pretty.
You know, and they're putting the plans in motion. You know, they're putting the plans in motion, not to say it's not here yet, to the point where it's a pandemic, but they can't contain it. It is it's already reached the United States, and they can't contain it. So, I mean, you know, you just got to be able to be prepared. I mean, you know, some people may lose their jobs. Some people may be able to stay on their jobs. Some of us have family members that are health care providers. You know, how long do you stay before it becomes a health hazard for you? How far do you let that go? Until you say, I'm just not going to be able to do this. How long can you stay in the profession and put yourself at risk? Because a lot of the doctors and nurses in China are dead. They're dead.
Nope.
And I know I have a daughter that's a nurse. I have a niece that's a nurse. I have a sister that's a nurse. I don't want nothing to happen to them trying to help other people because it's just, I mean, I don't know, I don't mean to be selfish, but I don't want to lose any of my family members where they're trying to help contain something that's not able to be contained. Mm-mm. And that's that. I don't mean to be selfish at all whatsoever because my heart goes out to the people who are infected and at the hospitals and They need somebody to care for them. But, man, how far does this have to go? When what happens when it gets to that point, if it gets to that point? We got doctors on this line. We got surgeons on this line. You know, I mean, you know, I know that you took an oath to protect, I mean, to first to do no harm and to serve your patients, but, I mean, you know, what do you do? You know, I don't know. What do you say to your family members that have gone to school to be nurses? And, you know, it's a profession, it's a very rewarding profession. But shoot, I don't know. Because my sister had me hollering. She called me Friday night. She said that they were interviewing one of the men who was in the hospital, and he tested positive for the coronavirus, and said he stood there and went to coughing, and all the news people, they raised their eyebrows and stuff and cut the interview short. He's talking about, I'm still contagious. No. And they went to looking at it. I said, I can't imagine. I mean,
they didn't have no mask on or nothing?
They didn't have on no mask, and he was coughing, talking about he was still contagious. Man, them folks went to look and cut the interview short. The little girl that was standing next to him, I think she backed away from him. Look. For real. It ain't funny, but I mean, gee, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My
scary,
sister was in stitches. What'd you say, ma'am?
Oh, I was just saying how scary all of that is. I was looking at that
yeah.
that Ash Wednesday or whatever it was that they was doing, and how the Pope was just a coughing and a snotting, and, of course, he was shaking hands and all that, too. And people were just trying to shake his hand. I couldn't figure it out. I wouldn't be trying to shake his hand. But it looks like the writing is on the wall. You know, it's time for us to take notes. And also these people who are registrars, you know, they're taking the admittance for a lot of patients and things like that.
Yeah.
That's, you know, something to be aware of.
Yeah. I went to Walmart today and didn't want the girl to touch my hand. I went and bought me some gloves. I went and bought me some plastic gloves that you wear in the hospital. I mean, seriously, I did not want that girl to touch my hand. Don't touch me. Because you don't, usually they don't touch you. Usually they put the receipt in your hand first, and then they put the money on top of the receipt. But I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, and you don't want to instill fear, but you got to be careful. I'm just telling you. And the
yeah,
boss don't
yeah.
look good. He really don't look good.
No, I thought he was looking kind of pale looking.
He canceled mass. They said he canceled the mass service.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he canceled one of the mass services. Let me see if I can pull that up. That poor man looks like he about to die. I mean, I don't, Lord, forgive me. I don't mean to say that. I'm please forgive me, y'all. I'm not trying to wish nothing on nobody. But that man does not look well at all. Poor thing. He was holding his chest. He was wobbling when he was walking, and they had to help him get up on the steps. And you know what I mean? I'm like, well, do they want to touch him? Because, you know, they probably was, it's going to get a mess. It's going to be a mess, Brother John. Now, it's going to be a mess.
Yep.
It is.
Get used to it. You're going to appreciate going home.
He's not in there.
He was still shaking
and
hands and kissing babies.
Yeah, he was. But he wasn't sick then. See, he wasn't showing no symptoms then. And then it kind of hit him later on, and then he started showing symptoms. So, listen, no, honey, I'm not going to be able to do it.
And those of us that are in business where we shake people's hands when they, different business people, we've got to really be conscious about that.
That said, don't do it no more. They said that's going to be, that greeting is going to become obsolete. You're not going to be able to shake nobody's hand. You can bow in front of everybody and say thank you, but you're not going to be able to touch nobody no more. Yeah, when he was out there kissing them babies, he was okay. But he, all of a sudden, something hit him, and he couldn't hardly stand up. I'm taking me some bleach to work with me tomorrow. I got a little bitty spray bottle that fits in my purse. I'm going to find that and put the bleach in it. Because I can't, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm just really not. You better go get you some bleach, because that's going to be a thing of the past, too. You ain't going to be able to find no Clorox. Because them in them mouths was empty.
Wow. Well, somebody's
taking it serious. They said Sam still got them. I'm going to go get me some at Sam's and do it that way. Just get two big old containers full of them, so I'll make sure I have them. No, and then, you know, my daughter and them, like I said, they work in the healthcare profession. You know, these poor old people in the nursing homes and stuff. If that goes through that nursing home, that will wipe most of them old people out.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Those of us who have family in the healthcare provider business, we've really got to send up some prayers for them.
Yeah. That's just a lot. That is a whole lot.
We knew it was coming, but I had no idea it would be this quickly.
Well, it's moving so fast, because I remember
right.
The lady said that they gave a number at the beginning of the morning, and at the end of the day, 500 more cases had popped up.
Wow.
And it's in California. Hold on, let me see. Here we go. Listen to this. Check this out.
It is happening in Santa Clara County, a county that includes the city of San Jose. Authorities there say this is another case with unknown origins, and that is especially concerning because it shows the virus is indeed spreading. This latest patient has been isolated at home. Now, we're talking more tonight about what this country looks like if we suffer a major outbreak here. Dr. Purvi Parikh is an infectious disease and immunology specialist at NYU Langone, and Lawrence Gostin is a professor of global health law at Georgetown. Welcome to both of you. Professor Gostin, let me start by asking you, if I might.
Sure.
Could the United States take the kinds of quarantine steps that have been taken in China? Could they do it legally?
No.
Could they enforce it? What would it look like, and would it be effective?
I think it's inconceivable.
No.
I was actually talking to a senior official at the CDC the other day and, you know, asked, you know, could we do that in, say, New York the way they've done it in Wuhan or Hubei province? And the answer is that no. It would be unlawful. The Supreme Court would strike it down. But also, you know, America is not China. We don't have the form of social control, intrusive surveillance. The public is just not going to tolerate it. So we need to have calm, targeted measures that are proportionate to the problem. No, we're not going to see that, but might we see, say, school closures or temporary closures of major sporting events or political rallies or business conventions? Yeah, I could certainly foresee that.
But those would likely be voluntary more than enforced, correct?
Well, not necessarily. You know, it could be that a city would close down a particular venue, or it could close down its transport system, or the education department could close down the schools temporarily. So, no, it wouldn't be voluntary, but it would be measured, you know, temporary. I mean, kids have to be educated. Parents have
mm-hmm.
to go to work, you know, so you can't go, overboard.
Right.
But it can slow things down. This is what we call, right now, we're trying to contain the virus, that is, make it go away. We may not be able to do that. Most of us think that's not going to be possible. So we need to go to mitigation, and that's usually
right.
like social distancing, you know, closing down, you know, congregate areas.
Right.
Remember, it spreads very rapidly in churches, cruise ships, prison system,
places.
So we have to be real careful.
I want to come back to you and talk a little more about the legal authority that localities and maybe the federal government might have to enforce quarantines. But, Dr. Parikh, I've heard from a lot of health professionals this week that there is a dramatic shortage of testing capability in the United States, maybe even more so than in other countries. Is that what you feel?
Absolutely, and I think that's what's contributing to the fact that we haven't tested many people. We just don't have the testing kits, and currently we have to go through the CDC.
Why don't we have?
Well, we're working quickly. We're kind of catching up to get those kits ready. I know New York State hopefully should have their own kits and own testing capabilities by next week or the week after, and I know Illinois and California are able to, but that is the biggest lag, is these barriers to getting efficient and quick testing done.
And then once you have the test, you can find out definitively whether somebody has the illness or not. This feels like an illness that may lay dormant, which is really high risk, because people who don't know they have it, they're asymptomatic, may be out in the society and contaminating people.
Right, and that is the scary part, because it can take up to 2 weeks to show symptoms, so you can have it and be walking around asymptomatically in public places.
We're talking there with Dr. Gustin. Would a quarantine be effective if it happens in the United States? Is it an effective way to contain it?
So if we are able to identify people quickly and quarantine them, that could help prevent the spread. Now, quarantines of large public places, I think it's too soon to go down that route.
We're not there yet.
No, not yet.
So Dr. Ms. Gustin, let me just come back to that idea of the government having the power to enforce a quarantine. You say they don't, or are there court cases that would support that, or what?
This is a common public misconception. I wrote the Model Health Emergency Health Powers Act for the CDC after the anthrax attacks during 9/11. Mm-hmm. And basically what the law does is, if somebody is known to be infected, you can medically isolate them for a period of time until they're no longer infectious. Or if a person's been exposed to the infection, you can quarantine them for the period of time just during the incubation period. But what we call mass quarantines are really called cordon sanitaire. They're actually a guarded area where
right. Come
in and go out. That would be
concentration camps
with a
come
large
in it.
Population. That would be very hard for me to conceive of in the United States. I think the cordon sanitaire of 50 to 70 million people in China.
Right.
It's unthinkable anywhere
but
China. And so, we just have to keep our head, narrow, targeted, proportionate measures.
There you have it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. They don't even have a kit to test people.
Nope.
That's scary. That is super scary. That's some scary stuff. Like they said, hospitals, jails, nursing homes, if it comes through there, it's going to spread like wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
That's crucial. That is critical. It's time to change. It's time to change professions for real. Because I'm going to have to tell my daughter, and look, you're going to have to find something else to do in the medical field, because it's too dangerous. I know you want to help people, but it's too dangerous, because you just don't know. Because the place where my oldest daughter works now, she said the whole place is sick. Everybody's sick. They got the people on quarantine. Well, how do you know what these people have? She said it's so bad that they're not even allowing the patients, the older people, to come into the dining area to eat lunch. Everybody is basically quarantined to their rooms, and they stay in those rooms until they can get a containment of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay enough for all that. They do not pay you enough for all that. You got kids at home. For real.
Mm-hmm.
She said the whole building is sick. And some of the workers are sick. So they have mandated that if you're sick, you cannot come on the premises. Well, it's too late now, because the people there, it's a lot. It's a lot. Hold on. Area code
228, do you want to say something, or you just push one to let me know you heard me? And it's code 228. Maybe she just pushed one to let me know she heard me. But yeah, I mean, that's some serious stuff. Lord, have mercy. Malcolm gave me a face mask. I'm taking this and put this in my purse for work. And she bought them at Walgreens, and they're individually wrapped. I don't know if they have any more. I'm going to have to call Walgreens to see if they have any more. But when I talked to a man at Walmart, he was like, man, we don't have none of them. He said, you can't find them nowhere. So I know.
Well, Trump said in his speech yesterday that they, or one of the people with them said that they were ordering the 3M. They were trying to order a bunch of face masks. And they had some kind of contract that they were making with 3M. So I hopefully there'll be more coming, because I think everybody's out of them.
That's the first responders, though. They're going to get them first. They're going to get them first. And the healthcare professionals going to get them first. And then maybe there'll be some for us. But if you pull up on Undermine, you can't even find them.
That ain't the way they did condoms. They passed it out to everybody.
She sure did. She gave me one today. I'm like, give me one of them. She said, I bought these before everybody knew what it was going on, what was going on. But, yeah.
And this time we don't have a Goshen to run home to.
No, but the Most High still here. He's still y'all. Guess what? He's crucial. No matter where you are, he can fit to where you walk around in a bubble and don't nothing touch you. You won't get sick.
I know that's right.
You will not get sick. So I just believe it's going to be all right. Now, I see some on Walgreens. They got 20 masks for $8. I see some of those. So they do have them on here. I just wonder. You know, 25 masks for $10. That's still kind of high, ain't it?
Yeah, it's over $2 a mask.
Oh, the price going up. The price is definitely going up. Well, I mean, you know, like I said, we don't want to panic anyone, please don't panic. And we know that Yah, he's going to protect us, but take all the necessary precautions that you can take and do whatever you can do, and he'll do the rest. You know, because he's not going to let nothing happen to us, but wow. Hold on. She's his sister, Keturah. Shalom, Sister Keturah. How are you?
Shalom. I had the side of the road because the car was so noisy. But, you know, I monitor the prices of, you know, food and stuff that we need. And I had in both of my carts, at Walmart and at Sam's, I had hand sanitizer. Do you know I went to pay for it, and it said sold out? And I checked every place, and the prices are going sky high. You forget big bottles of hand sanitizer.
I know. I told you I went to Walmart. There's no bleach on the shelf. They had some of that specialty bleach before I rock up at the top, and the rest of them, it was like four bottles up there. They was empty. No bleach.
No, don't buy Senate stuff. It won't work. I had gone the last talk to the family. I went and ordered it from Sam's, the bleach from Sam's, and I got 15 gallons of it for my family. And I told them, don't use it. Save it for an emergency. And they promised me that they wouldn't use it. But for right now, I'm going to use the other stuff. But Clorox is the best. And I did check on YouTube. They have some tutorials out there on how to make hand sanitizer. So it may come to that. And also what you can do if you need some antibacterial soap, just get any kind of regular liquid soap, but put 91% rubbing alcohol in it. And it'll make it into bacterial soap, antibacterial soap.
Okay.
Now, y'all love get off the phone now so I can pull back on the road.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate all your help. Yes, ma'am. It's
okay.
We got to keep doing it. Shalom, shalom. And this is when we start calling the camp and the different people to say, get stuff stored up. Brother Yerushalayim and some of the other brothers can call the camps and talk, and we can talk to some of the sisters. Area code 405, can you please push 1? Is she still on here? Area code 405, I need you to push 1. If you would, I see you. I need you to push 1. Area code 405. 6 and 4, area code 405. Let me get her mic open and see. Shalom, shalom, sis. How are you?
I'm fine. I wasn't sure if you wanted me or not.
Yep, I wanted you. I was wondering about the Hebrew, what is it, the Hebrew nation building or the Hebrew. Are you the lady that belongs to that camp?
Oh, no.
Okay. Are you with the camp or an affiliation of any camp?
No.
Okay. Well, are you getting prepared?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. Because one of the ladies, her area code is 405. She's with the Hebrew Nation building, and she goes to their camp, but she comes on our call. And I just wanted to know what they had in place and what they were doing to tell their people to start getting prepared.
Oh, no, that wasn't me.
And elderly people in your family and stuff, do your family pretty much listen to you? I mean, will you be able to, like, let all the people know to check on the elderly people?
Yeah. I try to tell my brothers and sisters them, but I think they think I'm, you know, a little off my rocker. But I tell them anyway, mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they gotta. I mean, just direct them to YouTube. I mean, that's right there. That's telling them. All I did was type in the coronavirus and the effect, and send them the link on their phone so they can watch it on their phone and show them what's going on, because this is real.
Yeah, I know.
You know. All praise.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for responding. I appreciate it, sis.
Okay.
Anybody else on the line that's affiliated with a Hebrew Israelite camp, please push 1. Because now it's time for us to start reaching out to make sure that these people are giving their people the information necessary. Street camps, street preachers, you guys need to start getting some stuff stored up and getting ready to go in if we have to go in. Because like he said, if you try, people in New York ain't going to stay in the house. It's just going to spread. People got to ride the subway train. They all on their commuting in cabs. Okay, how do you contain something like that?
Well, they're out doing the march, not right now.
Yeah.
On CNN. Yeah. I don't tell how many people are out there.
See, and you go. They're gonna have to stop all that's gonna have to come. All those social activities and entertainment and sports activities, it's too many people congregated in the same place. Church, you're not going to be able to go to church. You're going to have to do church on the internet. Ain't going to be no more church. Lord, have mercy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Brother Yerushalayim, you have any other suggestions? I mean, you know.
I just say, you know, we just gotta hold tight, keep praying, and be thankful that we're alive. To pray, because it is not. It's one of those things, Sister Young, the way I see it. We can. It's nothing that we can do, and we know these people, like you just said, they're not gonna stay in the houses, not in this country. But same point in time, I look at it like this country gotta fall. It gotta fall. It gotta fall. And what? What other way can make it fall? You know, because it'll show you what they care about. Either you care about people or lives, or you care about money. If you care about money, you're not going to take any precautions, and we know that's what they care about. They're not going to take any precautions to keep the public safe. They don't mind a few million people dying. They don't mind, you know, all of us getting exposed. They don't care. We have to take this stuff for ourselves. You know, like you said, this is not being an alarmist or nothing. But at the same point in time, we got to take some kind of action and say, hey, let's put up some food and water. Let's put up some this. We might have to help our brothers and sisters. We might have to help our family members. You know, and that's just easy because they don't know and they don't care. They still our family.
That means the club's going to shut down. The strip club's going to shut down. The party's going to shut down. It's going to be too problematic, too dangerous.
You know, I saw something that made me laugh a little bit, though. It's not funny, but it did bring a little smile to my face. I heard how the agents were saying that everybody boycotting their nail salon. Well, with the way they've been treating our women and our people,
yeah.
I guess there's a way y'all ran our people up out of there. You know, you
yeah.
quit going in
yeah.
there. But they don't have no respect
yeah.
for our community. They get all this money
nope.
off our community. They don't have
mm-hmm.
no respect. Now, I'm going to come at it from a whole other angle now. And people get mad,
yeah.
but I don't care. But, you know, it does say in the Apocrypha, the age is going to get played. And we see a majority
yeah.
of Asian countries get played. And look at all the disrespect. Look at China. China is the one that had that museum over there, the biggest museum they got, where they got black people lined up right next to gorillas, the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So, you
wow.
know, okay, keep going. You know, and how they treat us, how they talk about us. China is the same
yeah.
country that sent those guys went over to Africa and had them kids speaking, trying to, you know, saying, oh, this is some things to say. Chinese were saying that. I have a low IQ. Them kids didn't know what they're saying. They taking advantage of little kids. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You think the Most High
mm-hmm.
is going to keep on allowing you to play games like this? Remember my slogan, keep playing. That's why I tell them, keep playing. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. That's the way I look at it. You know, I'm not, I want our people to be prepared. I want us to be ready. I don't want to see nobody die. But at the same point in time, they need the other nations, they need to quit playing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Get up to Iowa, quit playing. Because as long as you keep on doing this stuff to us, you know, they're finna
mm-hmm.
kick that Hebrew Israelite thing. You remember? They're finna kick that Hebrew
yeah.
Israelite thing back up again. And all of a sudden, coronavirus just shut that up.
Sure did.
So keep playing.
Hey.
Keep playing.
He
That's
sure,
all I
he
tell
He sure
them.
Did. That's crucial. You know, he sure did. Because they were getting ready to amp that up in full speed, and he shut it all the way down. They ain't even talking about it no more.
Because
now everybody's worrying about surviving. Ain't nobody talking. You right about that. You, that's the truth, huh, man. You know, you hate to admit it, but that's the truth. You know? Whoa. And that's what Malcolm said, too. I was like, you ain't getting your nails done. She said, I ain't letting the people touch me. No. You know, Chinese restaurants? They boycotting the Chinese restaurant. They doing all of it. It's like, no. No.
Well,
no.
Look how much money they made out of our people. Look at how much money they made out of people and how they disrespected our people. You know what I'm saying? That's on
yeah.
them. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, that's on them. You know, you shouldn't. I'm not rejoicing in it. But at the same point in time, darn it, you got to sit up and you got to start respecting other people. And they don't do that when it comes to us. None of the other nations do.
Well, guess what? They ain't going to have no economy if this keep on. Ain't going to be no more economy for China. Because they can't continue to have this go on like this and they survive. It ain't going to be no more economy for this. It's wow. I mean, this is like, whoa. You know? And if it was a designed pandemic that somebody designed, they can't control it because now it's going into other 50 other countries, plus it's in the United States. So if it's spreading as rapidly as they claim it is, they're not going to be able to control it. It's almost like the last plague that the Most High sent in Egypt. You know, the death angel came through, and it's almost like that, and it's like, man, look, you know, it's time to repent. For real, I'm serious.
Stop your stuff, sister. Yeah, you saying that like the last day. Man, we just gonna get ready to pray these cats over.
I mean, for real. I mean, these people died. Millions of people have died. They ain't telling. They not giving the real number.
No.
And we wouldn't have even knew about it had the whistleblower not came out, and now he did.
Yeah.
And that might be why them people is kicking and screaming and not wanting to go into quarantine, because you don't know what they're doing to them folks up in there. And like I said, they can't give you no proper burial when you have a pandemic like that. You have to be cremated. They burn up everything. That ain't funny. That's some sissy for real. Woo, God, for my sins. I'm serious. I'd be like, please don't let this come nigh my dwelling. Please. Please forgive me for my sins and protect us and our families. Please, y'all. I'm serious because, man, that ain't no, that's not no joke.
No.
That is serious. And it's spreading rapidly. The lady just told you. It's spreading so fast they can't contain it. And we don't even have the proper amount of kit in the United States to test people. So there's people walking around right now with it and don't know they got it. Infecting everybody else. And you know what's going to happen? The online stores is going to boom. Amazon is going to boom. Yeah. And all these other stores that sell stuff to deliver to your house is going to boom. Because guess what? People ain't going to be going to the stores no more. It's too dangerous. Dude.
They already got it set up that you can buy your groceries at the grocery store online and they bring it to you.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Oh, that's serious. Oh, God, please forgive me. I'm saying, please have mercy on me. Ooh-wee. It do seem like it's the last plague, don't it?
Last plague? Oh, no. We ain't got to the plague. We ain't got to the part where them people walk around with their skin falling off and they still holding on and all of that,
ooh-wee.
Man, and dragging one leg. We ain't got to that part yet.
This is a deadly plague, Brother Tony. Why I say it's a deadly plague? Because it ain't nothing to play with.
Look here, during Egypt's time, the flies, or, you know, the gnats and stuff that was, they could accumulate them, but they couldn't get rid of none.
They couldn't get rid of them.
And they probably thought that was the worst thing that ever happened to them until the next plague.
Yeah, Lord have mercy. That is a lot. I don't even know what to say.
There's nothing that we can say, man. All we can do is pray and ask the Almighty to spare our lives and our family lives and our friends. You understand? And their family, their friends and families. You understand? Ask them to spare our lives. We don't know. We was dumbfounded to this stuff, man. You know, matter of fact, we was born into this particular stuff. You understand? Our forefathers did it to us this time. Our forefathers stepped in it, Jack.
Sure did, Brother Donnell. You ain't never lied. Like you said, when we get ready to leave, we're going to be running up out of here glad to go. Let us go.
we're going to appreciate the Almighty for sparing our breath of our life. In the breath of our life, you understand? We're gonna appreciate all of these dark days, man. What they did to us, and we can't blame them, because that's the nature of the people that the Almighty sent down on us.
That's true. And I would advise you to go to the vitamin store and get you some vitamin C. Get you some. I like liquid vitamin C. You can get the chewable kind. Give them to your children. Get you some vitamin D so you can take that as well. I mean, get your vitamins so they told you the CDC got a list. Get some vitamins. Get some anti-diarrhea medicine. Get some Pepto-Bismol. Have some stuff that you can drink. I'm just telling you, I'm going to see my doctor tomorrow. I'm like, look, I need a 90-day supply. Just call it in so it'll be a 90-day supply.
Absolutely.
Because they're going to run out of medication, too.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of these pharmaceutical companies are not based in the United States.
That's another thing.
If there's no cure for this, why is Bill Gates going, or I hear he's going to Africa? If there's no vaccine for it, what would be his reason for going there?
I don't know. I really don't know. I can't tell you. I don't know.
See, we've got 1,000 reasons why they want to go to Africa. You understand what I'm saying? And in actuality, I really can't really blame the people. You understand? Especially if they don't know what you know how that the Almighty's gonna come and get us. You understand? Wherever we may be at, whether we be in Africa, because it does says they talk about Petro and Ephraim, and I mean not Ephraim, Ethiopia. You understand? He gonna go in that area and all of that and bring us back to the to our land, you understand? But people have the, you know, their reasons, man. You know, I got a brother, man. I like this guy. You understand? He used to come on our program, man. You understand? He's in Africa and he cutting us down every time he posts something. you know who I'm talking about, man. What's his name? And
I know who you're talking
he
about.
He cut us down every time that he posts something, man. You understand? So people do what they think is best for them, man, you understand? But I'm not going nowhere. The Almighty has to show me a revelation, you understand? You know, give me a revelation so I'll know what I'm doing, you understand? Most of the time, man, the Almighty always been with me. And how I can say that, man, I'm here. I'm whole. I got the usual diseases that every older person got, you understand? But he spared me out of all of that nonsense, and now I'm on the other side of the 400 years. I got to thank the Almighty with all my heart and soul, you understand, because I could have been passed away like the rest of them, you understand?
Absolutely. Praise it. So if they going over there for some diabolicals, it's all going to backfire, sis, because everybody going to get the same punch.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's time for us to repent. And get ready to get out of here because we're going to watch it from afar. He said that we were going to see the judgment of this nation, and this might
Absolutely.
Be the way the Most High going to judge him. I don't know. I know I don't want to get caught up in it, so I'm going to repent. I'm telling you this life. No. No.
Well, you're going to ask for repentance. You don't control repentance.
No. Absolutely not. Humbly and respectfully ask him to forgive me because I just don't
correct.
Want to be caught up in their judgment. No.
That's right.
And everybody laughed when we said judgment was coming, and everybody thought we were talking crazy when they said we said judgment was coming, and the other nations was watching. Well, look at what's going on right now.
You know, we got a whole lot of our brothers and sisters that just don't believe. I mean, they just can't smell it. You understand? You put it up to their nose and they still can't smell
it. Like my grandma say, they don't believe fat meat is greasy. It's like, you better figure it out. For real. But just think about this. Everybody's so involved in social media. Everybody's still partying. When all those venues close down, look at how people are going to look at their lives. This may be the wake-up call that we need. When all them debauchery plays, them brothel houses close down, the strip clubs close down, the nightclubs close down, the dope houses close down, everything be closed down and quarantined off, and you got to stay out of those places where people congregate. You're going to have to find another means of entertainment. Ain't going to be no football on TV. It ain't going to be no more basketball on TV. All that's going to be shut down because they can't have them guys in them arenas with all them people running up and down the court sweating and all that kind of stuff.
And the movie houses, if you want to call it.
All of it. Anywhere people congregate, it's over. It's a wrap. You're going to have to watch it on TV from the confines of your own home.
Absolutely.
That's going to be a whole different new normal. School, you're going to have to go to school from home.
You're going to have to be, you're going to have to work from home. You're going to have to do everything from home. And if you go out to the stores to get what you need to get, you're going to have to be suited down and wrapped up to the point where you're not going to be able to do it. And pray that the people you ordering the food from ain't sick.
Yeah, but wearing the hazmat uniforms.
Yeah, you ain't gonna be able to go to no restaurant. All that's gonna be shut down. Fast food restaurants gonna be shut down. High class restaurants gonna be shut down. All this stuff is gonna be shut down. Anywhere people congregate where they can spread it to one another, that's a means of entertainment. They gonna stop it. Opera houses gonna be shut down. Museum's going to be shut down. I mean, think about that.
Now, you know, with the economy, that would definitely hurt the economy. What are these people going to do?
All these people won't have no jobs no more, just like when the government shut down and everybody up in Washington, D.C. didn't have no jobs. That's going to be something. Lord, have mercy on me. I mean, you know, it's something to really start to think about. You know, the what if this really jumps off. And I'm really kicking myself because I didn't get no mask, thinking, oh, it's going to always be there. But I'm about what they got. I'm going to get the ones that they got open. I'm going to go get me some, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the medical professionals, you know, when whole nursing homes come down with it. I told my daughter, they don't pay you enough money to do all that. They just don't. And people getting their 401ks out of there, they're taking their money out of the stock market. I told you my friend said her friend's got a family member that's a broker. People on hold for an hour. She said people are holding on for an hour to tell them to sell those stocks and get their money out. That's scary. But we was waiting on something to happen. We just didn't know it was going to be medical. People going to be fighting over resources. Those things that we need, those small things, Band-Aids. Make sure you go get some Band-Aids and alcohol and hydrogen peroxide and Q-tips and things. Small things that you didn't think none of. You know, ace bandages and things like that. My daughter, she's getting some stuff together. I should have it for you guys by next weekend this time where I'll be able to email it to you. Of the list of things from a nurse standpoint, the things that we need. Plus, the one sister sent me something from the CDC that I have too that you can go on the CDC's website and they have it up there as well. So, I mean, you know, this is it. Whew. Lord have mercy. Sickness. Yeah, but that would be the kicker because it's worldwide, isn't it? It's worldwide. Worldwide. Everywhere. That's what's happening right now. It's a worldwide, it's a pandemic. And we just never thought it would come to that point. But here we are. So I just wanted to say that it's time for us to dismiss the call, to end the call, but I'm glad that you guys got a chance to hear this. When those people who are listening in the radio audience, those people who listen to us regularly, all the people who have subscribed to the Blog Talk Radio show, pass the word to the camps, to the street preachers, to your church, your family that's in church. Send emails and messages out to them to tell them to get prepared. Send out a blast text message to all your family members and tell them to start storing up water and get a list of the things that they need because of what's happening with the coronavirus. It's better to be prepared. At least they can't say you didn't try to warn. So on that note, I just want to say thank you to everybody who came on, who was offering their thoughts and their opinions and their suggestions and all the things that we have right here with this group of people. I think you guys are a great bunch of people. I thank the Most High that He sent you to assist with these things that we're doing. Everybody has a different profession.
You know, we have people that's in all walks of life on this show, you know, and it's time for us to start spreading the word and getting people realize that it's time to store up some water, some food, and some medical supplies. Make sure if you take your medication, you get a 90-day supply instead of 30 days. So if they run out, you'll have it.
I wanted to say this before you get cut off, or you turn, you know, turn off the station. You can make your own matzahs. You don't have to buy none. They're just patties without no leavening in them. So you use some flour and some water and whatever it takes, and make your own matzah instead of making that Jewish man rich.
Right. I feel you. You say matzah is water cornbread, y'all. You know how we used to fry that old cheap water cornbread on top of the stove? That's matzah.
Yeah.
As long as
that
you don't have no leaven, it's just plain old water cornbread. You know how we
flat
used to do
bread.
It. Yeah. Flat bread.
And if you can buy those matzahs, not matzahs, tacos, same thing.
That's true. Those tacos don't have no yeast in them either. That's true. That's so very true. That's a good idea, Brother Donia. Very good idea. So
just
don't
make
forget
sure
on that
check,
note.
Just make sure the check's in the mail.
Ah,
go ahead.
Make sure you got water and food stored up. And on that note, everybody, don't forget, Brother Yerushalayim, you want to give the information for the men's call before we hang up?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, once again, number for the men's call is 720-820-1215. Again, 720-820-1215. And that's every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hallelujah.
All right. And then we have the women's call on the same night, and that is, the phone number for that is 712-770-4066. 712-770-4066. And the access code is 154-102 pound. 154-102 pounds, and that's every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as well. We hope to see you there real soon. We say shalom to everyone, and everyone, please have a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll see you soon. Shalom, everyone.